Donald Trump can get more scripted, can be more on point, and talk about security and safety and the economy and economic growth and better paying jobs, he's a winner because people who've seen Hillary Clinton, they don't like her.
Congressman Sean Duffy admits that Trump may say some things during rallies that are a bit animated. He added that while President Obama isn't the founder of ISIS, he has allowed policies that let the terror group become what it is. Silver Spring, Maryland Fire Chief Scott Goldstein says the search is still on in that explosion site of the apartment building.
That's 5 to 7 residents within the building who are still identified as missing at this moment.
It took over 150 firemen to fight the blaze. 2 firemen were injured. This is USA Radio News.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
What's at stake at this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voters Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information.
A philosophy professor at the University of Connecticut says the public discourse in the presidential race is fractured and broken. Michael Lynch says people are unwilling to listen to each other.
It's certainly the case that for a number of the last few years, our ability to sort of talk to each other in a rational, humble way has been heavily damaged by the type of talk and discourse that we've actually been engaging in.
He says there's been a sense of unity starting to reemerge between moderate Republicans and Democrats. Evan McMullen is officially a candidate for president.
It's been a crazy couple of days since we launched this bid. But we've received just an enormous positive response.
McMullen kicked off his campaign at a rally in Salt Lake City last night, telling supporters he is gaining interest and attention from around the country. McMullen is a BYU graduate who has also worked as a CIA counterintelligence officer. This is USA Radio News.
Picture Jack Benny's car. The sheriff of Dodge City.
Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Even little Charlie McCarthy.
Meow, meow, moo, you down.
No two people see these things alike. That's imagination, the theater of the mind. Free your imagination by listening to Classic Radio Theater. The podcast's available at usaradio.com. Free your imagination, Classic Radio Theater at usaradio.com.
Day 4 in Rio de Janeiro brought in some interesting results, like the oldest woman to win an individual event in 100 years. She's 42 years old.
People ask me all the time why I come back. Every time it came down to because I can. And I look at it as it's no different than athletes competing in age group competition. It just happens to be that I'm at a world-class level.
It's Kristen Armstrong's 3rd consecutive Olympic gold. On the hardwood, it was Carmelo Anthony's 31 points that ensured a 10-point victory over Australia.
Well, I mean, of course, I was conscious of it. My teammates was you know, making sure that I was aware of the situation. But, you know, tonight was just one of those nights where I told you the other day that I wanted to let the game come to me.
The female answer to Michael Phelps won her 4th medal. Katie Ledecky once again on the podium. Medal count going into day 5. The United States leads the way with 9 more than China, with 32 medals, 11 of them gold. China has 23, with 10 of them gold. Japan is in 3rd with 18, and Russia in 4th. Tied for 5th are Australia and Great Britain. Golf returns to the Olympics today after a 112-year absence. ESPN announced today that John Saunders has passed away at the age of 61, a 30-year veteran of ESPN. This is USA Radio News. I'm Rod William Stoll.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
On today's program, I'll be talking about three ways to market to millennials, the best way to ask for a raise, four ways to reach more female customers, three ways to make new connections on social media, and why women-owned businesses are driving economic growth. It's Thursday, August 11th, 2016, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
And I'll be taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I'll be taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington, New Jersey, in beautiful Hunterdon County, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, let's take a look at the weather. It is hazy, hot, and humid, and it's currently 89 degrees at 12:06. The forecast shows that today it's going to be partly sunny, very humid, with a thunderstorm or two throughout the day, a high of 90 degrees and a low of 74. For tomorrow, again, it'll be humid with the chance of a few thunderstorms and a high of 92 with a low of 75. Saturday, mostly sunny skies. Can't rule out a chance of a thunderstorm, high of 95 and a low of 78. And Sunday, the heat wave continues. Chance of a thunderstorm and a high of 95 and a low of 77. Current check of the financial market shows all indices are up. The Dow is up 131.15 to 18,626.81. NASDAQ is up 25.97 to 25.39. S&P 500 is up 11.47 to 2186.96. Oil up $1.46 to $43.17 a barrel. And gold up $2.70 to $1,354.60 an ounce. You are all caught up, and now it's time to listen in on www.HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Well, good afternoon, everybody. It is 12:08, and it's time for another edition of Taking Care of Business. So glad you could join us. It's a little afternoon on Thursday o'clock, and so glad that you could join us here as we take on another edition of Taking Care of Business. Jim Gano with you, the owner of Crown Trophy of Flemington, and as we do every week, it's time to get into the program here at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce for the program, Taking Care of Business. So, a whole lot going on. We've started a new thing on the program here where we tape the intro and then we post it to Facebook Live. So, I've got my hands flying in 97 different directions trying to get that posted so people can see it and get a little more interest in the program. So, I appreciate you bearing with me on that. Been a crazy little week here. Did you see yesterday the gentleman that was from Virginia trying to climb Trump Tower? And he says he did it so that he could meet Donald Trump. Now, I don't know Donald all that well,
But I got to believe that if you really wanted to get a meeting with Donald Trump, he probably has a secretary that you could call and say, hey, can I get a meeting with Donald Trump? And granted, you know, more than likely they're going to say no. But doing that with the Glazier suction cups, it was some pretty interesting watching in my office. I had it on in the TV in our showroom. I had it streaming on my phone, and it was scary. I mean, this guy was just, there was nothing holding him on other than these suction cups. And I'm like, well, that's a lot to be asking of the glass on the building and to be holding you up, and then hoping that those suction cups will also hold you up. So, you know, not the way I want to spend my Wednesday afternoon, but, you know, that's up to him. And, of course, this week, next week, we have to talk about the Olympics. Michael Phelps being golden in the pool, not showing any signs of slowing down at the age of 31. Almost makes you wonder, could he do it again in four more years? And the unique thing is that at the beginning of the Olympics, when he was interviewed, there was a pool interview, and he said, I'm probably retiring after the Olympics. It kind of left the door open, like, but we'll see. Katie Ledecky is doing great things in the pool in the women's side. Beach volleyball is doing well. We had a 43-year-old woman win the cycling event. So the United States is doing very well. Currently in the medal standings, the United States is on top with 32 total medals, 11 of those gold. China has 23 medals with 10 gold. Japan has 18. Australia has 12 medals. Hungary, 7. Russia has 15. South Korea has 9, Italy has 12, Great Britain has 13, and Germany rounds out the top 10 of nations with 6 medals. So, I don't know, are you getting into it? Are you following it, or does it taint it a little bit because the Russians aren't there because of the doping scandal? I'm still interested in seeing the athletes perform. I've always been a fan of the Olympics, but you know, it does seem like it's a little tainted this year with the doping scandal. I don't think we've heard the last of it. I think there's going to be more to come out of this. But interesting to watch, you know, all the athletes compete. Currently, it's 12:11. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. An interesting story out of NASCAR, and I don't normally lead with NASCAR, but because it involves trophies, I thought it would be a unique story. Now, and I had this set up in the sports, but I want to list it now. Now, Denny Hamlin drives the number 11 FedEx car for Joe Gibbs Racing. Now, this year, Denny won the Daytona 500, and last weekend, he won the Cheez-It 500 at Watkins Glen, a road course race. So you would think that after winning 28 NASCAR races, people might give you a little bit of respect. They might know your name. This guy's got to feel like Rodney Dangerfield. One newspaper wrote that Denny Hamilton won the race this weekend. So, again, whether the reporter just didn't know who Denny Hamlin is, I'm not sure. But you have to figure that. So we'll give the reporter a little bit of a pass on that. But then there's somebody that just can't get a pass. And that is the person who engraved the Harvey J. Earl Trophy, which is the winner's trophy from the Daytona 500. So, again, Denny Hamlin wins the Daytona 500, the premier event. That's the Super Bowl of racing. And so that trophy is engraved and sitting in Daytona USA down at the Daytona Speedway. So this week, Denny receives his personal copy of the Harvey J. Earl Trophy. They spelled his name right. There's just one problem. They put the wrong year on it. They put 2015 instead of 2016. So, Denny, if you're listening, by all means, bring that trophy up to Crown Trophy of Flemington. We'll get it fixed for you at no charge and take care of you. I can't believe that, you know, with all of the ways of checking records, that somebody didn't realize when they were engraving that it was 2016. Well, here's three ways to make new connections on social media. And you've probably heard that social media is a great way to connect with customers, both old and new. But how do you get the most out of your social media without investing time that you don't have into your marketing? Beth Carter, who's the chief strategist for Clarient Creative Agency, knows the dilemma. As a small business owner myself, I understand the challenge of dealing with social media, she said. As an agency owner, I'm fortunate to have an insider's view into what works and what doesn't. Carter offered up some quick tips for busy small business owners looking to make new connections on popular social media platforms. First, hashtags are your friend on Twitter. Now, if you're not familiar with them, hashtags are words preceded by the pound symbol that help organize information. Include one or two hashtags in every tweet to help new users find you. Number two, you want to turn every Facebook post into an ad. Target your audience carefully and start out with a $5 daily budget to grow your audience. Number three, share your blog posts on LinkedIn. When you share a post, tag a connection and ask that person a specific question. When they answer, their network will see the comment, thus growing your exposure. So just some great tips there on how to make new connections on social media. Currently it's 12:15. It's time for our first break. And when we come back, we will have more of Taking Care of Business.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingChamberRadio.com. I'm Jim Gano, your host, with you for the next 45 minutes. Want to say hello and a shout out to Josh from Joshua's Landscaping Design and Masonry. Hello to Maureen, who's tuning in. Appreciate listening in today. And Kevin Newman, all the way in Kentucky, listening in today. So glad that you guys could join us, as we are with everybody. So if you want to get a mention, tap into Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano on the Facebook page. That's our new Facebook page here for the program. And give me a like or something like that, and we will let people know that you are listening and you've made the right choice to listen to Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. So, again, we thank everybody for listening to Hunterdon Chamber Radio, all the programs, and especially that one on Thursday at noon called Taking Care of Business. Let's talk about women. We all love women, but women-owned businesses are actually driving economic growth. Now, in June, the White House hosted the first ever United States of Women Summit, an event aimed at celebrating women's progress and highlighting the work that still needs to be done to achieve gender equality. Among the many topics covered, female entrepreneurship was a major theme. One of the youngest faces of entrepreneurship at the event was Michaela Ulmer, the 11-year-old owner of the Me and the Bees Lemonade, a philanthropic business that donates a portion of its profits to help save honeybees, had the honor of introducing President Obama. She took the opportunity to share some words of wisdom based on her own experiences with the summit's 5,000 attendees. Entrepreneurs hold the American dream, and the biggest dreamers are kids, she said. My advice to anyone who's looking to start a business is simple. Be fearless, believe in the impossible, and dream like a kid. Now, Ulmer's words come at a time when girls are seeing more female business owners as role models. According to American Express's Open's 2016 State of Women-Owned Business Report, 1,072 new women-owned firms have been started each day since 2007. Women now own 38% of American businesses, and the growth in women-owned businesses has increased at a rate five times faster than the national average since 2007, as have the number of small businesses owned by women of color. In a recent Manta poll, 57% of respondents said that they consider themselves a minority or woman small business owner. Of that group, 66% self-identified as woman-owned specifically, and when you consider that small businesses in America account for 50% of all U.S. sales and provide 55% of all jobs, it's clear that the increasing number of women starting small businesses is driving significant economic growth. The American Express report confirms this trend, showing strongest employment growth among women-owned businesses between 50 and 99 employees. Women-owned businesses don't always have the same access to capital and markets as male-majority-owned businesses. According to the National Women's Business Council, the organization advocates for policy actions to correct the imbalance. These issues were among those addressed during the State of the Women's Summit. Speaker Warren Buffett and Johnson & Johnson CEO Alex Gorsky argued in favor of more investment in women business owners and family-friendly workplace policies. The whole day was about giving us a toolkit to go back out into the world and continue the work, said Sarah Mitchell, who's the communications manager for the Women's Fund of Central Ohio, who attended the summit in Washington. I think it will have a strong ripple effect. Now, while these gaps exist in large part because of structural barriers, others believe women's own desires may play into their business aspirations. Penny Pompey, a small business mentor with Palm Beach Score, has worked with many women business owners and says, "Everybody wants women to be just like men in owning a business, but I don't think that's an advantage," she said. "It's really about the freedom women now have to be able to choose the lifestyle business that they want. If they want to spend 80 hours a week building a company, they can do that, but if that's not their choice, then that's okay." Large or small, women-owned businesses are a vital part of the American economy, and the growth in women starting new businesses shows no signs of slowing down. So, excellent news there that women-owned businesses are now driving the economy, or at least helping to drive the economy forward. How about you? Do you feel, as a women business owner, that you're able to get the same access to capital and other things that male-owned businesses would? Do you see a disparity there? Let us know. You can reach out to us on our Facebook page at Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. And the Facebook page, again, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. Now, when we talk about women-owned businesses or any owned businesses, and I've covered this topic a lot over the last couple of weeks, that's cash flow. And cash is king in business and just about everywhere else. But there are three strategies that can help generate more free cash flow. In simple terms, free cash flow is calculated as follows. Cash from operations, which is found on the cash flow statement, minus capital expenditures. And when only the income statement is used to measure performance, companies can mask operating issues and manipulate earnings. Furthermore, the income statement fails to take into account the company's investment activities, otherwise known as capital expenditures. When free cash flow is positive, the company has cash left over after it is invested in the business through capital expenditures. When free cash flow is negative, the company is not able to generate sufficient cash to support the business. Now, you may want to consider calculating capital expenditures as a percentage of revenue, and in doing so, management teams can evaluate how much of their sales are being invested back into the business. Now, since many small businesses are investing heavily to rapidly grow their businesses, they may not generate free cash flow. And if a company is growing revenue at a steady growth rate and managing costs below that growth rate, it can generate healthy margins, which should naturally flow through to cash flow. However, such smooth financial performance is not always apparent. These three strategies can help you increase free cash flow for your firm. The first is to hire a CFO focused on cash management. Now, regardless of industry, having a good CFO or finance manager that understands future cash flow can be incredibly helpful. Consider hiring a CFO that knows how to project cash inflows and outflows, including a 12-month forward-looking view on any upcoming capital expenditures. A CFO can focus relentlessly on payables and receivables, which may help you manage the money leaving your company to pay debtors and coming in from customers. CFOs who incorporate weekly or biweekly cash flow dashboards into their company can be beneficial to your company's overall health. You also want to determine your optimal capital structure. Now, one reason that cash flow from operations is often lower than ideal is due to interest expense, which is directly related to a company's debt obligations. Companies with lower amounts of debt typically have lower interest expenses and thus have more cash available from operations and higher free cash flow. Remember, it may also be difficult for your company to obtain a loan or a line of credit if the company does not generate enough net income to cover the debt. As a result, optimizing a company's debt and equity structure can be beneficial for future financing needs as well. And third, you want to manage capital expenditures effectively. Now, you may want to consider calculating capital expenditures as a percentage of revenue. In doing so, management teams can evaluate how much of their sales are being invested back into the business. So consider determining what level is appropriate for your company. If your company has a CapEx to sales ratio of more than 5 to 10%, you may want to evaluate whether some expenditures can be delayed until the following year or if they are worth pursuing at all. While investing in the business is important, you may not want to overinvest because there may be less cash available for future activities. Effectively managing your cash flow is a challenge for many small businesses. By hiring the right CFO, obtaining an optimal capital structure, and/or investing appropriately for growth, you may be able to generate free cash flow, a performance metric that may influence a company's valuation and ability to sustain itself over time. Currently 12:25, you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Want to thank Donna Rowland for checking in. I believe she lives out in Indiana. So as you can see, the program is stretching far and wide, and glad that Donna can join us as well. When we talk about CFOs from that last story, there was an interesting article the other day, and I talked to a couple people about this. At home, do you have a CFO? And that's an interesting take on balancing the checkbook, if you will, at home. But just like everything else, now in my neighborhood, we have two neighbors that recently had to replace the air conditioning units in their house, and some of these are two-zone. Bills of like $7,000, you know, to replace the air conditioning units. So do you treat your home like a business, you know, with expenditures and money coming in and things like that? And I think that was an interesting take as far as, you know, are you prepared? You know, everybody always says you should always have a stockpile of like 6 months salary in case you're let go from business or something like that. But for that rainy day fund, the hot water heater breaks, the air conditioner breaks, dishwasher breaks, you need a new refrigerator, do you have the money on hand to make that happen? So in addition to having a CFO for your business, it may be a good idea for you or your spouse to start acting as the CFO at home as well. So interesting take on that. Currently it's 12:27. And just taking a look to see if we have something short so that we can lead into the halfway news break. And apparently we don't. So let's take a look at this story real quick, and I may summarize it as we move along. But this is a story that a lot of people ask me about, and that is creating your company culture. How do you create a company where people actually want to work and not just show up to collect a paycheck? And we've all heard the mantra that culture is king, and it's become cliche for good reason. It's the only piece of our companies where we can truly put on our unique stamp. Now, if you want to do the best work for the best clients, you should have the best talent. And culture is a critical tool to finding and retaining happy, motivated employees. According to a June 2016 report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, 2.9 million people quit their jobs in the month of March alone. How can you challenge the status quo and build a business where people want to work? By creating a strong company culture. So here are four steps to help you realize that goal. The first is be authentic. Business isn't just business, it's personal, particularly when you run a company you started from scratch. Your company can infiltrate your entire life, from your family to your free time, and many of the business decisions you make can be influenced by you as a person. And because of this, a strong workplace culture is reflective of the company's leadership, and authenticity is key. You certainly can't fake it. Now, whether you provide opportunities for professional growth, work-life balance, profit sharing, or cutting-edge technology, if you set the expectation for a certain kind of environment, you need to deliver it. Whether your motives are to change the world or gain personal fame, be honest with yourself about why you're starting your business. Authenticity and culture will follow. Number two, you want to have a vision and then share it. So I suggest taking your reasons for starting the business and use them to create a company manifesto that outlines the values by which you'll operate. It not only clues in new team members to the kind of work environment that we've created, but it also reminds long-term employees that we're all working at a place that values transformative ideas and leads revolutions for our clients. You also have to listen to your team. The best employees see a job as a two-way street, and when that's not the case, things will fall apart. So listen to your people. What do they need? Like a family or a sports team, your company needs leadership, but as a leader, you need to know how to listen to it so that you can craft a culture that fits your people as much as it fits you. And number four, deliver on your promises. Business is personal. You don't hire a firm, you hire people. And with that in mind, it's important for management to deliver on the promises that it makes to its staff, whether you provide opportunities for professional growth, work-life balance, profit sharing, or cutting-edge technology. If you've set the expectation for a certain kind of environment, then you need to deliver it. The bottom line, just go for it. When creating a strong company culture, don't be afraid to be bold. Nothing good comes from hesitation. And if you think you've gone too far, take it another half step, and then you'll probably hit the sweet spot. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We'll be back right after this quick news break.
USA Radio News with Rod Williams-Dole.
If Donald Trump can get more scripted, can be more on point, and talk about security and safety and the economy and economic growth and better paying jobs, he's a winner because people who've seen Hillary Clinton, they don't like her.
Congressman Sean Duffy admits that Trump may say some things during rallies that are a bit animated. He added that while President Obama isn't the founder of ISIS, he has allowed policies that let the terror group become what it is. Silver Spring, Maryland Fire Chief Scott Goldstein says the search is still on in that explosion site of the apartment building.
That's 5 to 7 residents within the building who are still identified as missing at this moment.
It took over 150 firemen to fight the blaze. 2 firemen were injured. This is USA Radio News.
Hello, I'm Eric, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is Hillsdale President Larry Arn on progressivism's appeal and danger.
Progressivism has been powerful for 2 kinds of reasons. First of all, its promise is a very high promise. It claims that it can put everything right. And the second thing is, it draws on modern science for a lot of its authority, and modern science is very powerful. Modern science cured polio. Modern science put a man on the moon. The question is, what do you do with the power? If you give absolute power or excessive power to a bunch of people, over time, they're very likely to abuse it. Remember, the richest country in the history of man in peacetime has assembled a debt larger than any in history. And it is getting to the place now where it's not going to be able to afford to go on.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com, and so is Pam Bowen, listening from, she lives in Illinois or Indiana, so glad that she could join us as well. Current check of the weather shows that it's currently 89 degrees here in Flemington. Time is 12:33. The forecast shows that today it'll be partly sunny, very humid, with the threat of a thunderstorm or two throughout the day, and a high of 90. A low of 74. For tomorrow, again, it'll be humid with a chance of a few thunderstorms and a high of 92 and a low of 75. Saturday and Sunday are going to be the hottest days during this heat wave. They're going to have mostly sunny skies. Can't rule out the chance of another thunderstorm, high of 95 and a low of 78. Sunday, heat wave continues. The chance of a thunderstorm continues under mostly cloudy skies with a high of 95 and a low of 77. Oh, we are taking care of business right here at HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. And the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce takes care of business, too. Don't forget the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce Expo is coming up this November. And if you're a business in the borough or in Huntington County, you're going to want to make sure that you have a booth at the Huntington County Chamber Expo so that you can show off what it is you do and possibly network with some other businesses in the area and possibly co-promote each other as well. Let's talk about getting out from under. I'm getting a lot of emails from listeners that are saying that stress, workload, things like that are just kind of weighing them down and they don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I used to have a friend in college who would say that he sees the light at the end of the tunnel. He just fears that it's the light from an oncoming freight train. So the big thing here is not to wait for your workload to overwhelm you. Waiting to the last minute can really do you in. So if you say the word procrastination, very often heads are going to snap to attention. Procrastination is the one personal flaw that every student and adult in our time-pressured culture openly admits to. Misery has oodles of company. But as with online seduction and garbage disposal, not all is always what it seems. Sometimes what we perceive as needless delay is really task overload or midstream deployment to higher priority goals. Only about 20% of us can lay valid, if self-punishing, claim to the title of procrastinator. Now, those are the people who turn delay into a lifestyle and such an invasive, deeply ingrained habit that it undermines achievement and feels ineradicable. Joseph Ferrari, who's a professor of psychology at DePaul University in Chicago, finds that procrastinators put off everything, at home, at work, in their social life, bringing on a great deal of anxiety and depression. The rest of us merely delay some tasks sometimes. Now, there's considerable misunderstanding about procrastination. For one thing, it's not laziness. Settling into the fertile psychological ground between our intentions and our actions, procrastination is an active mental process of diverting yourself from doing high-priority things in the delusion that tomorrow will be better, because you'll know more, you'll have more time, or the sun will shine differently. It's a misguided sense of activity, says William J. Naus, a clinical psychologist and professor of International College in Springfield, Massachusetts. Procrastination has been around since the beginning of time, and although it took a great leap forward with the Industrial Revolution, what distinguishes procrastination in the 21st century is the sheer variety and accessibility of distractions and diversions. Think Xbox and Internet. The greatest boon to procrastination is the online chat room, Naus observes. What's the real problem here? Procrastination begins with a decision to delay a pressing activity and is accompanied by a promissory note to do it sometime in the future. At bottom is always the same problem, a low tolerance for frustration. You perceive negativity or unpleasantness in some aspect of the task, and you dodge the discomfort through diversion. But frustration is an act of life. It is a fact of life. At some point, a procrastinator needs to learn frustration-tolerance skills and acknowledge the unpleasantness. It's also helpful to put the brakes on self-talk that exaggerates the negativity of a task. If you put off doing something because you tell yourself it's too tough, stop the conversation right there, and then identify even a small part of the activity that's manageable and begin there. Some people are just not built for action, says Timothy A. Pitchell, who's a professor of psychology at Ottawa's Carleton University, where he runs the Procrastination Research Group. Have we really gotten to that point where we need a procrastination research group? His studies of purposive behavior suggest that there are two basic ways of functioning in the world. There are the action-oriented people who move easily from task to task, and there are the state-oriented souls who have a lot of inertia and are most likely to procrastinate. State-oriented people rate tasks more negatively. They experience greater uncertainty, boredom, frustration, and guilt than do their action-oriented peers. What helps them, Pitchell finds, is to prime the pump of shifting from one action to the next. Make a deal with yourself, he urges, and follow the 10-minute rule. Acknowledge, I don't feel like doing that, but do it for 10 minutes anyway. That gets you over the hard work of initiation. After being involved in the activity for 10 minutes, then decide whether to continue. Once you're involved, it's easier to stay with a task. Succeeding at a task does not require that you like doing it. Pitchell also urges that you enact implementation intentions. It's easy to procrastinate when goals are large and the path to them is long and fuzzy. So lay out a specific plan of when and where to enact your behavior. In situation X, I will do behavior Y to achieve goal Z and limit the competing goals. Procrastinators tend to be so wrapped up in their own mental gymnastics that they are unaware of a significant fact. their behavior has a huge impact on others. Ferrari finds that procrastinators infuriate coworkers, and a procrastinator with a boss who is also a procrastinator can't count on sympathy. In fact, the situation leads to especially harsh performance evaluations, and although procrastination may begin in childhood as rebellion against a demanding parent, it may help some procrastinators to recognize that their delaying actions have huge social consequences. Procrastination is not a problem of time management. Time management skills won't cure it. But procrastinators do underestimate how long it takes to complete tasks. So cut yourself some slack and build into your schedule 20 extra minutes between tasks. You'll get more done, and you'll like yourself better, and so will everyone around you. So you want to make sure that you stop procrastinating and make sure. I like that hint in there about the 10-minute rule. You know, get something started that, and you know, sometimes you look at that big project and you say, oh, this is going to take months. And then when you bite it down into small bite-sized chunks, it really does become more manageable. So hopefully that will help you overcome your procrastination, if you will. And some people, nothing you can do about it. They're just going to be late to the party every single time. In the preview of today's show, I mentioned we were going to talk about three ways to market to millennials. And this is probably the area where I see the most challenge in business in the future. And we've talked about this at Crown Trophy annual meetings and things like that. Because if you just stay with what you've been doing all along, and maybe that's radio advertising, newspaper advertising, a coupon, a postcard or something like that, that's not the way millennials are engaging with the world. They have their cell phones. They're getting their news on their cell phones, oftentimes from Twitter before they see it on the evening news, if they even watch the evening news. So you have to understand millennials before you can understand how to market to them. So the question has to be asked, are you ignoring the millennial market? Now, these tips can help incorporate the coveted demographic into your business strategy. But no matter your business, if you're going after the 18 to 34 set, you might want to incorporate these into your own strategy. The first is you want to humanize your social media. Now, according to a 2014 Elite Daily study on 1,300 millennials from online news platform Elite Daily's database of readers and contributors, 62% of millennials are brand loyal if a company is able to successfully engage with them on social. Now, with over 91% of millennials using Facebook and other social media platforms, according to a 2015 Media Insight Project survey of 1,045 U.S. adults between the ages of 18 and 34, it's no wonder that more and more brands are turning to social to acquire and retain this market. Now, in order to steer clear of stale social content, I challenge you to a marketing branding exercise. Ask yourself, if my company were a person, who would it be? However, like most things, running authentic social channels is easier said than done. One of the reasons that companies sometimes fail to engage through social is because they fall victim to content that is corporate and unrelatable. In order to steer clear of stale social content, I challenge you to a marketing branding exercise, which again would be, if my company were a person, who would it be? Now, in college, they would have been the teacher's pet or a lovable class clown. In a bar, are they surrounded by a big group or having an intimate chat or in the corner? Once you map out the characteristics of your company, apply that voice and personality to your social media channels. This can help ensure that others feel the authenticity behind your brand. So instead of using stock photos or promotional content, try posting personal stories from users. Social media is also the best place to write in a personable voice and engage with customers that leave comments, questions, and suggestions. You also want to build what is called a socially conscious brand, and that's the second tip here. Millennials have expressed an interest in spending more on brands that publicly support causes that they care about. But don't panic. That doesn't mean every company has to pivot and become an NGO overnight. Millennials care about corporate social responsibility, but this can take on many different forms. This could be something as small as doing a team community service outing once a month. Think back to the exercise regarding what type of person your company would be. As a small business, it's important to build out the social good part of your personality early on. You also want to think about what your employees do that helps the world or what causes your overall company mission can be tied back to. Baking this type of social responsibility into your brand story can give millennials a better look into your values and mission, creating a more transparent vision of your company as a whole. And finally, you want to follow your audience. A 2015 Deloitte study of 50,000 adults worldwide found that users ages 18 to 24 check their smartphones 74 times per day. Now, if you're not taking advantage of that, you could be missing a huge opportunity to engage with your audience at their level. These days, digital doesn't mean reaching your audience on their desktops. It means embracing and utilizing all touch points. In 2016, millennials expect brands to be connected, but with the same person-to-digital interactions. Companies are best advised to go beyond creating mobile experiences for consumers and must take on a true multi-channel approach. Don't be afraid to play with the boundaries of webinars like customer chats and text versus emails. After all, what feels more authentic, a marketing email blast or a personalized push notification or text tailored to you? That was surprising. I was shocked when I heard that. But when I heard that 18 to 24-year-olds check their smartphones 74 times a day, that kind of emphasizes what I've been saying all along, that as we talk about marketing in the future, as we talk about sales in the future, we have to be able to do it the way people are engaging with businesses and with companies. And if a young person, 18 to 24, is going to buy a pair of shoes online and they're going to do it from the comfort of their smartphone, now a lot of smartphones will even save their credit cards. Amazon saves your credit card, so it's like push a couple of buttons and the next thing you know, the shoes are on the way to you. In business, we have to start thinking, how can we attract that demographic into our business? And it means not so much that the 18 to 24-year-olds have to change, but a lot of times it means that the owners of the businesses have to change. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce. Building business, one business at a time.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business and working overtime.
Oh, You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join us for another edition. And we'll be back again next week with more stories affecting businesses large and small, both locally here in Flemington, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Well, one of the toughest things, one of the toughest topics in business, both from the employee side and the employer side, is asking for a raise. And so now the question is, what's the best way to ask for a raise? So figuring out if, when, and how to ask for a raise can be nerve-wracking, but it doesn't have to be. Shark Tank judge and serial entrepreneur Robert Herjavec reveals 10 steps to ask for a raise and actually get one in his book, You Don't Have to Be a Shark, Creating Your Own Success. So how do you get it, he writes? By selling your value to the company, which involves justifying the quality of your work and your performance on the job. Here are his 10 rules. Number one, you want to get the timing right. Now, while your annual performance review may seem like the right time to ask for a raise, Herjavec recommends asking 3 to 4 months before your review so that your boss has time to consider it and make any budgetary changes. Specifically, Herjavec says asking after lunch on a Thursday or Friday boosts your chances of success since most people are more relaxed at that time. Number two, you don't want to plead. Managers reward people based on performance, and only performance. Now, according to the Shark Tank judge, when you ask for a raise, leave out personal reasons like rising rent or family struggles. Just remember, you're asking for a justified raise, not corporate sympathy, he writes. Instead, he recommends focusing solely on your work and your value. Number three, phrase it as a commitment. Earning a raise isn't about the past. It's about the future, he writes. Frame your raise proposal as equal to or less than the increased value you will add to the company over the next year. Number four, highlight your specific value. Now, be prepared to highlight your individual skills and achievements so that your boss understands the unique value that you bring to the company and the team. Make sure it's known, Herjavec says. Number five, follow the three Ps. Now, Herjavec's three Ps are practice, perspective, and being proactive. He says you should practice your pitch, understand your company's perspective, and be proactive by asking what it will take for you to earn that raise. Number six, he says, be confident, but not cocky. Now, unless you are both serious and prepared, never threaten to look elsewhere for a job if your demands are not met. Be prepared to sell your value to your boss with solid facts and in a respectful manner. You also want to bring proof of your performance. Point out ways your work has improved and provide data that demonstrates it. Number eight, don't take it personally. Getting or not getting a raise isn't personal. You want to stay cool and calm while discussing your request, he writes. If you feel your boss is being unfair or unappreciative, deal with it separately, not when you're pursuing a raise. Number nine, get rid of the gender gap. This one isn't just for women, it's also for men. There's no room left for the gender gap, he writes. Women are no less assertive or aggressive than their male colleagues, he says, so don't let these old stereotypes cloud your vision. And number 10, if all else fails, change may be good. Now, while the Shark Tank judge maintains you should never threaten to leave a job during a raise discussion, he says that not getting a raise can be an eye-opening experience. If you are honestly convinced that refusal to deal with your salary request is unfair, perhaps it's better for you to move on. Herjavec recommends considering what opportunities exist for you at the company, whether your colleagues represent a big part of your social life, and if you truly feel like you can't move past the rejection. Above all, he says, don't be nervous. Be prepared to sell your value to your boss with solid facts and in a respectful manner. So a couple good tips there on how to go about asking for your next raise. Currently 12:52, you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com. There are four ways in which you can reach more female customers, and we're going to share them with you here. But women control 73% of all household spending, and they will control 50% of high net wealth by 2020. And they consistently spend more than men on shopping trips, according to a 2015 Catalyst study. As women's buying power continues to grow, you need to find new and unique ways to earn their business. Let's start by saying no. The answer for reaching this audience is not turning your products pink or creating female packaging. Big Pens learned this lesson the hard way. Instead, you should take a look at your current marketing plan and test these female-friendly ideas. You want to create and share coupons. Now, women are big fans of coupons. In fact, 63% of women use coupons versus just 37% of men. I know I personally use almost every coupon that gets sent to me from various grocery stores and still up spending at least $40 during every visit. Luckily, you don't need to submit your coupons to the local newspaper to take advantage. Instead, capture the attention of your female customers with digital coupons. Now, there are a number of ways for a small business to execute this. Use an online tool like Send a Coupon to create and distribute your coupons. Create your own graphics and send coupons through your current email platform like Robly or Constant Contact. And share coupons on your social media accounts. Now, if you own an online business, the most important part about digital coupons is having a code that customers can use at checkout. If you have a brick-and-mortar store, make the coupon printable or allow customers to show it on their phones at checkout. The best part about all of this is that it costs you nothing to create. After sending out the coupon, check the data to see if it worked. How many of the people who clicked on it or used it were women? If this seems to be effective, start building brand loyalty by setting up an automation flow that sends another coupon to anyone who used the first one. You also want to take advantage of testimonials. A 2010 study from NPD found that 1 in 4 social media moms purchase kids' products based on recommendations. If you've been on social media recently, you've probably seen more than one mom asking other moms for advice about a product or service that she needs to purchase. I just saw a status update yesterday from someone asking for crib recommendations. It's been a while, so I couldn't help them. Now, if you're already on social media, you've got half the battle. You've won half the battle. Next, you need to share testimonials on social media. You don't have to sacrifice a link to a landing page either. Put the testimonial in the caption space or create an eye-catching image that displays the testimonial. Another fun idea is to pose a question to your customers. We want to know why you love your, and then list your service or product or your company name. So sound off in the comments section. Consider pairing this with a prize to get even more responses. This encourages engagement and gives you even more testimonials to work with in the future. You also have to create easy-to-digest information. To say that women are busy is an understatement. Now, whether they're running from work to soccer practice, living solo, or working a full-time job, or trying to build their passion into a business, in part to help to relieve this time crunch, 78% of women in the United States use the internet to find product information before buying. Combine these two things and you have an important female need, information that's easy to digest quickly while still being informative. Luckily, this is an easy thing to do, and testing its effectiveness is relatively simple. On your landing pages, for example, take long blocks of content about your products or services and turn them into quick bullet points with images and brief testimonials with photos of your customers. Graphics make it even easier to convey your point without a lot of lengthy text. You also want to start a referral program. Testimonials get female customers in the door, and a referral program gives them incentive to get their friends in that same door, too. A survey of 6,000 women found that 92% pass along deals to friends, making this a great opportunity for your business. The idea is simple. Reward your loyal female customers for spreading the word to friends, which keeps them coming back and also incentivizes them to do it more often. A referral program can be as simple or as complex as you want it to be. If you have an online store, it's as easy as giving your brand ambassadors a code to share with friends. Each month, they get a discount or a reward based on the number of people they referred who ended up making a purchase. If you have a brick-and-mortar store, you can invest money in creating loyalty cards that you give to your female customers. They simply give the card to the cashier when making their purchase, and you can track its effectiveness that way. So a couple of neat ideas there on how to attract more female customers into your business. And as they are responsible for about 72% of the purchasing going on, it's a good idea to make sure that you are attracting them. All right, let's recap. Tonight, Thursday Night Lights here in Flemington, so you want to make sure that you stop by Flemington for some great bands. I believe there's going to be some activity over at the Filling Station as well. Friday and Saturday, the Filling Station will be open. $5 beer, $5 wine. There will be live music entertainment, so you want to make sure that you come to Flemington's hotspot known as the Filling Station. If you're looking for some free family fun, the Somerset County 4-H Fair is currently going on down on Milltown Road in Bridgewater, so make sure you stop by there and let the kids see the horses, the cows, the goats, and if you get a chance, stop by the go-karts and watch my old friends at the go-kart tent as the kids get ready to do some of their racing there. In sports, in NASCAR, Denny Hamlin won the Cheez at 355 at Watkins Glen last weekend. This week, the teams have the weekend off, which means what the hell am I going to do on Sunday? In other racing news, driver Brian Clausen has died of injuries he sustained in a wreck during a midget race last week. Clausen had started three Indy 500s, including this year's, and was a four-time USAC champion. On a sad note, longtime ESPN analyst John Saunders died yesterday at the age of 61. He was with the network for 30 years. In Major League Baseball, the regular season is underway, and the Orioles, Indians, and Rangers lead their divisions in the American League, while the Nationals, Cubs, and Giants lead their divisions in the National League. Also in Major League Baseball, Alex Rodriguez has announced his retirement from baseball effective after this Friday's game, and Prince Fielder of the Texas Rangers has announced he will have to retire from Major League Baseball after undergoing his second cervical spinal fusion surgery. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. I am Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I'll be taking care of